Recordings have started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the 37th GNSO EPDP team meeting taking place on the 3rd of January 2019 at 1400 UTC. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you were only on the telephone bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? And I do believe we have Caitlin Tubergen and Christina Rosette on audio only at this time. Anyone else? Hearing no one further, we have listed apologies from Matt Serlin, the RRSG, Alex Deacon, the IPC, and Thomas Rickert, ISPCP. They have formally assigned Theo Geertz and Brian King as their alternate for this call and any remaining days of absence. During this period, the members will have read-only rights and no access to conference calls. Their alternates will have posting rights and access to conference calls until the members' return date. As a reminder, the alternate assignment form must be formalized by the Google assignment form. The link is available in the agenda pod to the right, and as well as the meeting invite email. Statements of interest must be kept to date. If anyone has any updates to share, please raise your hand or speak up now. Seeing or hearing no one, if you need assistance updating your statements of interest, please email the GNSO Secretariat. All documentation and information can be found on the EPDP Wiki space. There is an audio cast and view only Adobe Connect for non-members to follow the call, so please remember to state your name before speaking. Recordings will be circulated on the mailing list and posted on the public Wiki space shortly after the end of the call. Thank you. I'll now turn it back over to our chair, Kurt Pritz. Please begin.
Hello.
Hi, everyone, and welcome welcome back. I hope you all had a great break. Before we start, I want a note in the chat that I put in the link to the public comment review tool. So I hope you either have a copy of that by your or that open. Today, we're going to be reviewing the comments made to purposes 1 and 3. Which are part of recommendation 1. And so, as I'm sure you're familiar, the public comment review tool, or PCRT, has the changes that were recommended by each of the commenters and the rationale upon which we want to focus the reasons for making those changes. So they'll be part of our discussion when we get to the substance. As far as the updates go, we had a meeting of the legal committee yesterday, which was the first day back for many after break, and not the first day back yet for some. But the meeting was pretty well attended. We essentially reviewed our methodology for reviewing certain questions. We honed the language for guiding the ICANN procurement that we're asking to be kicked off immediately for legal counsel, and paid particular attention to the issue of conflicts and how to manage them and make sure the requisition for legal advice included that consideration. We also considered comments we received from Christina Rosette augmenting one of the questions, but we didn't get to any final decisions on any of the questions, but rather we have three small teams working on each of the three questions that are in the initial report. And so our expectation is that we'll have a better honed set of questions for the next legal committee review, which will be a week from yesterday, so Wednesday, at least Wednesday where I am. And hopefully shortly thereafter, we'll have revised sets of questions for the full team's review before they would go on to the input by our legal advisor. So that's essentially the update from the legal committee. On the face-to-face meeting, everyone, I think, on this call who's attending has their flight reservations. I don't think hotel res- reservation notifications are out yet. I'm not sure, but the flight arrangements are all set out. So if you have any issue or don't have them, please let Terry Agnew know right away. And I think that's it on updates. Does anybody have any questions about the actions of the legal committee? I'd assume not, but just want to check. Okay, great. Marika, are there any outstanding action items? I think in our last meeting there were not. So I just want to check with you to see if there are.
Thanks, Kurt. This is Marika. There are a couple, but I think they date back from the meetings we had prior to the new year. I think one came out in relation to the registrant consent to publication, and the leadership team had an action item there to summarize the EPDP team's discussion. I think we're just checking up whether that actually happened or whether it's still an outstanding item. And there was well an action item to look at the timeline work plan in relation to the launch of phase two that is outstanding. And then we still have an outstanding item in relation to the statement of work for outside counsel, but I'm actually thinking that has been overtaken by the work that the legal committee is doing, so we can maybe mark that as complete.
Okay, great. Hi, and I see your question in the chat, so when we get to the substance, I'll get to that question. So thanks very much for bringing up that agenda item. But before we get to that, I'd like to review the proposed methodology for going through the comment. We have, as wise men once said, we have a long way to go and a short time to get there. And so it's incumbent upon us all to read through the comments that are entered into the public comment review tool. I think I'll start saying PCRT, and pay particular attention to the rationale, so that we're going to have to make an assumption that everyone's read the rationale and carefully considered it. So where we don't touch on every single comment that was made in the public comment forum, we want to make sure that every comment receives consideration. So there are two ways of doing that. One is to touch on each one during our meetings, and the other is that everyone has read and carefully considered the comments and has chosen to not support or make a comment about or not to enter into discussion about a certain comment on this meeting. So we owe a duty to all those who commented that aren't part of this team or the people on this team do not represent, but those more at arm's length from this group that took the effort to comment have to know that their comments have been read. I'd rather not do that during these calls because there's just not enough time. So you really need to look at them and pay the comments that were made the respect that they deserve, even though we decide that they aren't to be discussed on this call because we've, you know, maybe set a bar high for making changes or something like that. So with that preamble, I'm not looking at the team screen. Could you bring up the letter? Oh, go ahead, Caboose. How are you? And Caboose, while you're talking, because the team broke up the letter we posted.
Thank you very much. I'm okay. But just I want to repeat what I sent you all, that the way that I'm not talking about this group, ICANN in general, put the public comment together is not a user's friendly manner does not facilitate the reading of the document and does not facilitate the most quickest way of analysis. And I send you an example how the comments could be consolidated in a document. I send you an example, one example of one resolution, resolution 130 of Plenary Potential Conference, and you see that how it has been assembled and make it easy for the people to quickly look at the matter and grasp that. Here, we do the comment in a narrative way, just narrate whatever people said. So we don't know what the changes they do and what is the impact of the change. If someone asks to activate, not to use the word activate, then we don't know which area of the text we are talking of activate and what is proposed instead of activate and so on and so forth. So just wanted to tell you that here. And second, in the blog, your question, you hoped that we have all read the document. Maybe everyone has done, but I have not done. I have done part of that, which was very recently available. I sent you a message and asking that I need to have a document during the break, and I was told that still it is not available because they're creating these tools. And very recently, 2 or 3 days ago, documents are available, and I have not done the whole thing, so many recommendations and so many comments and so on and so forth. So at least I can openly mention that I have not read all the documents. I have read some of that. Thank you.
Thanks, Kavus. And partial answer to your several comments. I really have 2 comments. One is for each meeting, we will let you know which sets of comments will be reviewed during that meeting, so that, for example, during this meeting, we put part of recommendation one on the agenda. And 2 is that in addition to the PCRTs, which are comprehensive in compiling the comments and the rationale for them, and therefore I found to be very instructive, the support team has also created a short form document that we'll put up shortly that that indicates the final language. So where somebody had wanted to change the word activate, for example, they didn't want to change the word activate, they wanted it defined. Barry has shown what that amendment can clearly be. So you'll have to read through these in a measured way, but in a dedicated way. And 2 is maybe the format you'll see today will be more friendly, and we can start distributing those before the meeting. So this is the letter that we sent out that outlined our process going forward. And, I've covered part of it, and I think you understand the PCRT and how it's laid out. And I outlined people's duties in here. So I think a way to go about this is really, we want to focus on rationale and to see if there's any new thinking here. So if a change is recommended to one of the policy recommendations or one of the purposes for processing registration data, we want to look at the rationale and say, had we talked about that before? For example, in purpose one, somebody recommended we include that one of the purposes was the transfer of domain name, and I'm not sure, but I think we talked about whether transfer should be included or not, and actually have that address that somewhere else in our thinking and in the consideration of the temporary specification. So for me, I'd really like to take comments or suggestions that were made in the comment form. And if they're based on thinking that we've already covered, I'd kind of like to let them go. But I'd rather that we, you know, review carefully each comment, identify if there's any novel arguments in the rationale, and then review the proposed recommendation in light of those arguments, those novel arguments, and see if we still support changes. Also, rather than going around the room or presupposing who might be for or against a particular recommendation, you know, I think we'd bifurcate the discussion and say, you know, who in the room is for a proposed recommendation, and then who do not support a recommendation or a change, and have the discussion that way. For the, I'll lay out how we're going to have this initial discussion, and we're going to see how this works. I want to get this done in the shortest period of time, and. But allow for the necessary discussion. So we'll see how it goes and adjust our methodology as we go along. I hope that was clear to everyone. And you know, it's really hard to debate a process and how we're going to do something without doing the work itself. So I recommend that we dive into these first couple purposes and see how it goes. But want to take, are there any other comments about, in addition to Caboose's, about the process and how we go through this? And I'll admit that I'm a little bit under the weather, so I've kind of like concentrating on what I'm saying and haven't read the chat. So I'll pause for questions and gaze through the chat. Caboose, is that an old hand or a new hand? Let's go on to Alan Greenberg. Hi, Alan. Happy New Year.
Hi, Happy New Year
one
to
of
everyone.
The, yeah, yeah, one of the comments mentioned that we need, whenever we talk about rights, also talk about obligations. So I would like to see the initial text of the EPDP and the addition of the obligations proposed by different people. If they propose by several people the same thing, we should have it one time. If it's different things, we should have different color. We should have blue, we should have green, we should have red, we should have anything. So it is quite clear that rather than going and reading all these consequential pages, we have a text of the recommendations, and then we have changes proposed, and we look at the changes, what the changes is, and then we agree with the changes which has more or sufficient support from the readers or from the people in the team. Currently, this is too many lines and too many pages we have to read, so this is not an efficient way of that. We should have three alternatives. Either being passive or being active, or being active with some initiations to propose some solutions. So I don't know which one you want. I can be passive totally, say nothing at all. But the way that the document is prepared, I'm sorry, is not users friendly. It's narrative way, and it doesn't help at all. Thank you.
Okay, well, I'll remember that comment because it's going to become a little more meaningful in just a couple minutes, and I will, and then we'll preserve your comment. You won't have to make it again. Thanks very much, Caboose. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to thank staff I made two comments on the list when they published the summary, and the response is the staff was exceedingly prompt and addressed them very quickly, and I want to thank them for that, and wish everyone a happy new year. And I know Barry's hand has been up for a very long time.
Ta-da! Thank you, Alan. Barry, go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Kurt. Barry Cobb for the record. Just to kind of tack on to Kurt's introduction as well as what was mentioned in the chat about support of Milton's approach. In essence, we are doing that. We will be getting to the harder or more urgent positions that were raised during the public comment forum against either certain purposes or recommendations. We did choose to purposes 1 and 3 today because on the initial scan, it did seem like there was, general support for the purposes, perhaps maybe some slight modifications to the wording. But in essence, it's kind of a baby step into our way as we review through each of these comments. That said, the same approach applies when we're working within a particular PCRT for a specific purpose or recommendation. As noted in the letter, most of the PCRTs are structured by starting with support and then support with intent, the recommendations with edits or intent and wording that requires amendment. And as you step down through those, the second and third parts are where kind of the more divergent positions are mentioned, as well as not only just the rationale, but proposed edits. And so when you look at this from a document or a PCRT level review, yes, we're starting with the easy ones first, then we're going to get to the more complicated ones or divergent ones. But then the same approach actually occurs within the document, where there was general support and especially where there were no comments specifically assigned to a response to a quantitative question, there's no point for this group to spend time to reviewing through all of those agreed comments. Not to say that if there's additional comments posted in agreed sections that they should be ignored, they should be reviewed. And again, the general premise is if there is any new idea that hadn't been discussed by the group before, that we spend time on those. But the majority of our time should be focused down in the areas, as Milton pointed out, where, there are divergent positions about. On a particular topic that we're reviewing through. We're hopeful, or staff's hopeful, that at least with this approach, we can filter our way through to the most meaningful comments.
Thanks, Barry. Go ahead, Milton. Welcome. Can you guys hear me?
Kurt, we can hear you. Milton, I see where your Adobe Connect mic is unmuted on our side. Please check on your side. We're unable to hear you. And Milton, it seems like we're still unable to hear you. I'll send you a private chat message and see if a dial out would be helpful.
Okay, with that, let's get into the let's get into the substance.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Go ahead. Welcome.
Sorry about that. AAC was cycling and being very sluggish and has been that way all morning. So I appreciate Barry's comments. I think we do take a slightly more meta approach in these early phases. That is, I would like for us to agree on the categorization into those three categories and say what, which ones we agree, which purposes we agree at least are pretty much well established, and we're talking about tweaking at best. I would like for us to agree which ones actually really need work, and I would like us to agree on which ones are possibly lacking enough consensus to even be taken forward, or at least will have to be seriously discussed. Now, what I'm afraid of with the approach that's been proposed is that we will spend an hour talking about minor wordsmithing of basically consensual purposes. For example, this tweaking of purpose one by adding the word obligations, which is, to my mind, clearly a mistake and somewhat tendentious one. And then we will not have time to get into the real serious discussions we need to have. So I would appreciate if, at least as a procedural matter, that we could first agree on a categorization of all the purposes in terms of where they stand in those three categories.
Thanks, Milton. And I'd like to talk about this for a few minutes because it could save us a lot of time going downstream. So I agreed with your categorization, and after this call, we could formalize that in a note to the whole group in order to ensure that we all have the same understanding. So the question I really have for the group is this, and this is why I waited to respond to Aidan's comment initially, is that I really wanted to get into discussing the purposes. So, for example, in purpose one, we have seven groups of suggested tweaks to purpose one, and for me, some of them I think are in error. Some of them I think make it better. But to me, they at the end of the day, if we implemented any of them or left the wording the same, I don't think that would change the work or the results of the work at the end of the day. But I also understand that, work went into creating these edits, and it's difficult to not discuss them in a way. So I for one would like to shortcut the process somewhat, but would like to understand and get some sort of understanding from the group about how we pay attention to these set when they're grouped together, seven suggested changes in purpose one and nine suggested edits to purpose three. Mark, go ahead.
Thanks, Kurt. This is Mark. I am a little bit worried that in the rush that we're going to be shutting down comment prematurely. For instance, the obligations text, of the people who wanted an edit, that seems like that's the common thing that they wanted the edit in. Half of the people who wanted edits in this purpose wanted that particular edit. And so I do think that we need to talk about things that are like that. Most of the edits are, as Milton says, they're one-offs, and we can move quickly through those or even just decide not to engage them. But, one of the great advantages of format that was created by staff is that it allows you to very quickly scan through and see what the commonalities are. So, what we're wasting time on right now is arguing about whether or not we're going to even discuss things as opposed to discussing them. I think we can go quickly through. I don't know how you plan to determine, is this a consensus call? I didn't think it was. I don't know how you plan to determine which things, we might take. But shutting down the comments right now just seems like the wrong way to go. Thanks.
Thanks. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you very much. I have no problem with the categorization. However, one person's tweak may well be another person's die in the ditch. and I don't think we can ignore them. However, we've successfully used small teams to resolve issues. I certainly don't want to be wordsmithing on these calls. That is a futile and horrible effort. So I would suggest that if we have anything other than one-ofs, that if we have a common theme, that we try to identify a small group of people, including the proponents of those and the, you know, and the opposition, if there is any, and to come up with a proposal and not try to wordsmith on this call. Thank you.
So I'm sorry, Alan, could you so you're recommending that we review the set of recommended changes and try to resist the urge to wordsmith.
That is that is indeed. I don't think we can ignore them because our obligation is to go through them, as you've pointed out. But I don't want to try to resolve issues on this call unless it's something that we can really readily do. Many people on this call are not going to be in a position to do a formal consensus call without consulting their groups. So I would suggest we try to delegate when we can. But I believe we need to go through everything. Thank you. And again, Barry has had his hand up for a while.
Go ahead. Thank you, Alan. Go ahead, Bert.
Thank you again, Alan. Barry Cobb for the record. Just to tack on to Milton's point earlier, you know, if the group wishes to generally categorize the purposes or recommendations between support or divergence and attack the divergence, in terms of assigning those levels of agreement or lack of agreement at a macro level, I do want to caution the group, you can't just rely on the graphs or the pie charts at the beginning of each one of these PCRT charts. It's really just kind of a general indication of a compilation of the categorized responses, but in some cases they're not a perfect delineation and should in no way be used to try to determine a formal level of consensus or a consensus against. That's not the intent of the tool, but just to provide a more detailed example, within this purpose one, there are 19 responses for support purpose as written. As an example, and this is not a direct one, for instance, the registrar stakeholder group submitted a comment and could have flagged purpose one that they support the purpose as written, but there were also individual registrars that also had indicated supported purpose with written, meaning that, you know, there could be multiple like positions that are being calculated or revealed here in the pie chart, so it's not a perfect delineation of agreement across the group. It's merely meant as a quick takeaway, oh, it looks like there's some general agreement versus, oh, it looks like there's some severe disagreement such as purpose too. So in terms of trying to assign these macro levels of support, the comments should be considered in assigning that particular level. Thank you.
Thanks. And I'm not a big fan of I think the pie chart's necessary, but it's sort of a necessary evil. So I look for yellow and red. But otherwise, it often is a display of having different people comment on the same thing, which is not indicative of total support in the community. So the pie chart I see is of limited value. Alan Woods, the other Alan.
Thank you. Happy to meet you all. It's actually a very quick one from us. It's just as I'm reviewing the actual Purpose 1 PCRT, I just noticed that the registry stakeholder group's comment actually seems to be miscopied over, where it seems it's replaced the term agreement with the word support in the first amendment. So I just want to make sure that maybe staff could just take a note of that it should be in column 12, or in row 12, should I say, in accordance with the relevant registry agreement.
Can you stop there, Alan?
Yeah.
Oh, this is scrollable. So where I want to look at that, because that really confused me. So that could be very helpful.
It's 12. Whoa. Yeah, that jumps. But it jumps to the right place. So you see in the first proposed edit in accordance with the relevant registry supports, that should be the registry agreements and the registrar accreditation agreements. So not supports. We don't know. I was reading that. I was like, I have no idea where that came from. So I think it was just a copy and paste or a replace all. So I just wanted to flag that with the team. That's all.
Thanks very much. That's helpful. Emily, go ahead, please.
For the record. Sorry.
Alan's not talking.
Actual. No. Sorry. Apologies. I just want to say that is what was submitted on the Google form as well. So it's not as if I'm trying to do that. Or we're trying to do a late change.
Excuse me. Emily, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much, Kurt. Happy New Year to everyone. And also big thank you to staff for ploughing through the comments over the holiday season and getting them into a very readily digestible form. I know that there's been some comments about, you know, it could be like this, it could be like that, which is obviously useful feedback, but I think that we should all acknowledge that there's been a great deal of work by staff that is very helpful to all of us as a team, so thanks for that. I agree with the comments on that Barry's made and Kurt has made on the pie charts. I view them as a sort of useful indicator of what's to follow, but it's, you know, I always feel with public comments in these environments that they are not a numbers game. The comments are received from self-selecting groups of stakeholders. They are not representative of the entire global community and all of the different stakes that are involved. Although it can seem tempting and attractive to go, well, how many, you know, voices supported this particular amendment? There are many different ways in which the whole process can be distorted, or in which different voices can be louder or more vigorous than others, but it doesn't mean that those other voices should not be heard. I think it's much more interesting and relevant for us to look at, we are experienced in this area, all of us, and it's much more relevant to say, well, where is the same point made by different stakeholders across the traditional divides, if you like? If you've got people from, and we know, or we have an idea of what those divides are. They might not be fixed on every item, but where there is, we understand where there are divergence of views. So where a particular point is made across the spectrum of interest, then that is really significant. And of course, I agree with everyone who's saying we don't want to sit here wordsmithing every single textual amendment. At the same time, we do want to show respect to who have made comments and to highlight, as many others have said, new ideas, things that haven't occurred to us. So that's just a brief intervention, which I hope is useful.
Thanks very much, Emily. So there's a couple different ways of going about this. One is to scroll through each of these with the change and the rationale. And the other is that in addition to this, the support teams summarize the recommended changes. So if you guys can open up the PCRT so you can look at the rationale in each one, we can look at the recommendations sort of in total. So if you could either make that smaller so we can see it, and then we can blow it up a little bit. But you'll see here that there's what I would say is essentially six proposed changes to purpose one. There's 1 to 5 on the first page, and then number 1 on the second page is sort of a recommended change, but GoDaddy and the Registrar Stakeholder Group did not recommend the replacement for the word rights in the term. But we can sort of stare at all of the changes at once here. And you know, and I think kick off a discussion. So I think we want to hear from someone in, and let me just this is the last philosophical or process related thing I'll try to say, and that is, so we sort of have to try to divorce ourselves from the commenters, which to me is practically impossible. So, you know, each of you has a duty to the group you represent, and then you have a duty to this team. And so the comments, the proposed changes, and more importantly, the rationale for those changes have been written by organizations you represent. They might be your employer, or they might be your stakeholder group, but they sort of have to stand on their own at this point. And we have to look at the proposed changes and the rationale as written and see what we think of that and sort of adopt the change or not, and not you know, further refine what is here or further justify what is here beyond what is suggested or what is written in justification. So to the extent you can, you know, I think that's something we have to try to keep in mind. So with that, I think we want to start a queue of letting go of some of these recommended changes as, you know, possibly making it better, but not better enough that we need to debate it or, you know, voicing support or an opinion against some of these changes. So Caboose is first in the queue, and I understand you've already voiced support for the addition of obligations in this. Do you have a further comment, Caboose?
Yes. Once again, Kurt, I think we need to respect each other. Someone told that my time is wasted. It is not correct. We are not wasting time of anybody. We're raising the question, and we must be clear about the question. So I don't think that there is somebody or everybody else saying that my time is wasted and so on and so forth. And this person has in many times in the past also told the same thing to the others. So we should respect each other. So I have one general question. 29 people for several months have done something. All of a sudden, one commenter comes and proposes a change. Do we agree with that change, or we need to discuss the change to see whether this has not been already agreed or discussed several times, and the result of what we have in the initial text is after all those discussions. So we should not subordinate ourselves to one single comment from the corner of the world. Somebody saying that activate is not the correct word, or somebody saying that we have forgotten something, and somebody saying that it is a narrow discussion, or saying that a narrow definition has been defined narrowly. I think we have to look into the acceptability of all these comments. Some of them may not be acceptable by us. So I ask you, please, how you want to go through these comments. Thank you.
I think there's two ways to go through these recommended changes. One is to go through them one by one, and one is to go through them in a group of either 5 or 6, whatever, however we want to term that. So for me, I think they're kind of easy to go through them one by one, but we could just ask for who's, you know, who's in support of these. I guess we should, we could do a show of hands. We could try that. So we could try each one of these and do a show of hands and see who is in support of a change. The alternative is to just take all five recommended changes and say, okay, who's in support of any of these, and listen to all the support, and then who's against these, and then have the show of hands. So, let's go through the queue quickly, and then we're going to start with the first proposed change and go through these. Go ahead, Hadia.
So, hello, everyone. I was actually going to start commenting on the changes and the concerns. So, can I do that now? It's just a quick one. I don't have too many comments. It's just one, simple.
Okay.
So, it's actually with regard to the concern that speaks about the word activate, and it's within proposed change number 5. But of course, in change number 5, it doesn't say you still have the word activate. I actually support the comment because activate domain name typically means bringing it online. So if you're like a registrar, if this domain name is a website, so activating the domain name would mean. Typically mean develop the website and host it on an up and running server, right? And so I do support changing the change of the word activate and maybe replace it with register a domain name and allocate it to the register name holder. It's more clear and obvious. So that's the only comment I have.
Thanks. Go ahead, Amma.
Thanks, Kurt. This is Amr. Generally speaking, one thing I would recommend when going through these proposed changes is to consider when some of these changes are actually recommending a change or the addition, deletion, or amendment of an actual purpose. My reading of some of these is that some of them might actually qualify a bit more as processing activities as opposed to actual purposes and might or might not fit into some of the purposes that already exist. So I think that would be helpful to keep an eye on while we're going through these and not just consider them all proposed purposes just because the commenters believe they might be. Another thing is to also, when considering these, and I'm sure that the entire EPDP team wouldn't fall short of this, but when going through these, especially when it comes to amendments to the purposes or adding new ones, to also consider, you know, what the legal basis is and to what extent it might be within ICANN's agreement or the remit of its mission to do this. But these are just general suggestions on my part on, you know, when tackling these comments, things to be cognizant of. Thank you.
Thanks, Amr. Alan Greenberg?
Thank you. I was just foolishly going to try to address the question you asked. I would suggest for ones that are commented on by one person, we group them all together and ask, is there anyone here who feels strongly that this warrants significant discussion? And perhaps we can get rid of is too strong a word. We can eliminate a significant number of the one-ofs that way without spending a lot of time on them. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Alan. All right, so I'm sitting here thinking, and Farzi got in the queue, so go ahead, Farzi. Farzi.
Thank you, Kurt. Farzi, by speaking. So I just thought that just a general methodology approach, and also like specifically for the addition of the work obligation. So if the changes that are being put it, would require us actually go through the exercise of the data sheet that we had and then go over it and see if this change if this change requires us to do the exercise again, then we will have to consider that. For example, if we add obligation to this purpose, then we have to go to the data matrix again and look at the processing and look at the collection of the data, the disclosure of the data, and all sorts of the questions that we answered in the beginning when we came up with these purposes. So I think if there are changes that would require us to go through those like elaborate exercises, then we need to decide on whether we want to make the changes and make the changes or go through the elaborate exercises and then accept or drop them. And I agree with Alan that if the change is something that the group thinks that it needs to be considered seriously, then we can go over them. Thanks.
Thanks very much. Okay, so let's look at the first, let's try this. Let's look at the first proposed change. And I apologize, this is going a little bit slow, and we will get our legs under us and go through these more quickly as we proceed. So let's look at the first proposed change and ask if there's any support for further discussion of this change. I think Amr's comment kind of went to this one. So please let's, is there any support for this recommended change? Amar, am I correct in Kurt, please go ahead.
Thank you, Kurt. Barry Cobb for the record. So I think to be more precise on this question, you know, specifically our purpose statement is talking about the activation and use of the domain name. And the comment provided by George Kirikos, he essentially thinks that transfer and recovery should be spelled out specifically in the purpose statement. So really the specific question for this group to consider is should the more detailed definition of including these two words, transfer and recovery, be added to the purpose statement, or is that implied by the general term of the word use? And if it's not, then the group should consider adding it. But if it is, then we can acknowledge the comment that basically transfer and recovery are implied by the term use. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Go ahead, Amar.
Thanks, Kurt. This is Amar. I think this proposed change would qualify as one of the ones that I view as not necessary to achieve the objective of the purpose. I think I understand where George is coming from on this. And I don't remember all the processing activities associated with this purpose at the top of my head right now. But I think it might be worth checking to see whether any of these things like transfer and recovery, activation, and so forth, would fit in as processing activities or not within the purpose. But to me, they all just still fall under the general umbrella of establishing the rights of a registered name holder. So I don't think that spelling them out specifically in the purpose itself adds any value. And I think if we do go through this exercise with every one of these purposes, it's going to become it's going to give us all a terrible headache dealing with them and trying to wordsmith and make sure that every possible Boston's activity is that was not me barking. That every single processing activity is included within the substance of the person itself. I think that would be a terrible waste of our time, and we'd end up submitting very confusing recommendations. So I think we should look at the purpose, see if they fit in within the processing activities. If they do, fine, we can work it out. If they don't, we don't need to. But I wouldn't recommend changing the purpose based on this comment. Thank you.
Thanks. Caboose, go ahead.
Yes, I don't really understand what it meant by recovery. Recovery of what? Transfer, I understand. But recovery, I don't know what they mean by recovery. However, transfer and recovery does not constitute to be use. Use is more general. So whether we agree to the transfer and recovery or not, but I don't understand what you mean by recovery. What we recover. Thank you.
James might answer your question as part of his intervention here. Hi, James.
Hi, Kurt. James speaking, and Happy New Year, everyone. To Cavus's question, I think we have separate consensus policies that establish and manage the processes of transferring domain names between registrars, between registrants, recovering domain name registrations that have inadvertently expired or are in some sort of a redemption period with the registry. So I think what George is referring to here with this comment is he wants to see those functions baked into this purpose. I disagree. I think that they do fall under the umbrella of use and disposition, which is a much more generic broad category. And in fact, we might come up with new ways of using and dispositioning domain names that are beyond transfer and recovery. But I should note that we have discussed the possibility or the likelihood that the transfer and possibly EPDP, or no, I'm sorry, I'm getting my acronyms mixed up, but the transfer and recovery consensus policies may have to be revisited following the outcome of this PDP, and so I think George's comment might be relevant to kind of flag that work that needs to occur as a subsequent PDP or two following this one. So I think I'm agreeing with Amr and others that these are important uses, they are important dispositions of domain names, but they don't belong as part of the purpose. However, they should be flagged for follow-on work. So I hope that's helpful. Thanks.
Thanks very much, James. So I'm looking at the remaining two. Is there anyone that supports this change and thinks it should be made? So, Mark and Alan, if you are in agreement with what's been said before, even if for a different reason, it's okay. I think it's okay to drop off. Go ahead. Thanks, Alan. Go ahead, Mark.
Thanks, Kurt. I am in agreement, but I want to make a I do want to respond to something different in chat. There's been a couple of statements in chat about, you know, what it means to activate and allocate. And I think there's some confusion about what those terms mean. And so I wanted to raise my hand and make sure we all get on the same page there. And so, you know, allocating a string, we're talking about allocating a domain name, you know, that's the act of taking a string and and registering it to a registrant. The activation of it is different from registering it. The activation, we're talking about activating it in the DNS. And so those are two separate activities. You can't activate it if it hasn't been allocated. And you don't have to activate it, but that is one of, you know, but that is still, I think, key to purpose one. You can register or allocate a domain name and decide not to activate it in the DNS, But just because you choose not to activate it in ZNS, that doesn't, I think that doesn't change the fact that that's part of the purpose or that's part of what Purpose One is covering. And then just, sort of a friendly reminder, activating a string in the DNS is not the same as having a web page. You can activate a domain name in the DNS and not have a web page at all. Having a web page is just one of the activities you can do with a domain name.
So I think, thanks very much for that clarification. And I think that's important, not just for this, but for another reason. So I think where we are in number on the first proposed change is that we're going to let it go. And so I want to just pause to make sure that there's no objection to that. And then, so I'll pause. And then Mark really addressed, if you go down to the second page, Mark really addressed the concerns noted, concern number two, what does activated mean? And I saw in the chat that, it's a legal term of art that's well-defined in the contract. So I think it's okay to leave the word activated in our purpose, that it was carefully chosen and debated for some time. So I think that we've considered proposed change number one, and also in the second page, concern number two, and are leaving those both. So unless there's an objection, we'll go on to the next proposed changes on number two, which is the addition of obligations of the registered name holder into the proposed change. And so we see from those supporting it, we can clearly see the groups supporting it. So I think there's probably some appetite on this call for discussing this. Can we hear from, and I hope you've read the rationale. So the rationale supplied with those things is really clear, but I've also heard comments that so I think what we do is take comments that I can't think of a better word, set of words than go against. So are not for this change. So are there people on this call that oppose this change? I don't remember if we decided or discussed whether or not obligation should be part of this or not. Go ahead, Milton. Thank you. Whatever you did the last time. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Very sluggish Adobe Connect. So what we have here is a pattern that we're going to have to resist as we go through the purposes. We know we have a group of stakeholders whose primary interest is access to who is data. And most of the discussion and debate about purposes and GDPR compliance has been then bent to the purpose of getting access. And so by adding obligations here, what's being done is to try to essentially change purpose one into purpose two, which is to say we can impose third-party obligations on registered name holders because they have these unspecified obligations. Now, the problem with that, the most basic problem, is that insofar as it's valid, it's a different purpose. It is not the same as the purpose we have identified in Purpose 1. It is an addition to it, and if it is indeed a different purpose, then create another purpose or incorporate those concerns into purpose two. I really think that this is kind of the kind of word game that we really can't, we don't have time for. I mean, purpose one is valid on its own terms. If you add that word obligations in there, you're in effect turning it into a completely different purpose. And I think we just don't want to do that. That's all.
I'm sorry, I was muted myself. Thanks very much for that, Milton. Go ahead, James.
Hey, Greg, James speaking. Thanks. Just, you know, wanted to note that the word obligations as an addition here is probably something I'm not comfortable with. I know we have a number of other documents that were labored over many years that use the word responsibilities instead. And I think that if we were to entertain this, I would propose that we switch it from obligations to responsibility. It makes sense that as a party to a contract that registrants would have some degree of obligations or responsibilities, whatever we end up calling it. But I think for the most part, I do agree with Milton. This is sort of, I don't know if it's an effort to water down purpose number one or to kind of blur it was a very narrow and concrete definition and make it look a little bit more like purpose two. And if we continue down this path, I think we should keep the boundary between purpose one and purpose two clear and distinct. Thanks.
Thanks very much, James. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you very much. I would have no problem changing obligations or responsibilities. I do think it's important, and I certainly would accept a new purpose, but I don't think we want to draft a new purpose right now. I will comment, however, that the term insure does not go along with obligations, because you can't insure someone's going to fulfill their obligations. You can ensure that they're identified so that their rights can be exercised, but you can't ensure that they actually do something. So I would use the term establish with regard to the term obligations or responsibilities. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Kurt. This is Amr. Yeah, I would be one of the folks who oppose addition of obligations or even responsibilities in this purpose. I think that a number of factual clauses that any registered name holder agrees to, at least so far as registration data is processed, I believe those exist in other purposes, such as, for example, the purposes we have on the different DRPs. So I don't see why we need to repeat those here. So far as the rationale that is provided in several of the comments that are proposing this change, I have to admit that I haven't found any of them to be particularly persuasive. I think a number of them conflate between this purpose and other purposes that address some of the actual obligations that a registered name holder agrees to when registering a domain name. I also think that some of them are generally not accurate in terms of, the so-called obligations don't actually require processing of GTLD registration data in any way, and some of these are just, obligations that exist between two parties, such as the registered name holder and the contracted party that it chooses to contract with. But if in the absence of any specific examples or reasons where GTLD registration data needs to be processed within the context of this purpose, I don't see any compelling reason why we should make a change to this purpose. Thank you.
Thanks very much. So I'm looking at the queue, and I'm sensing that we're about to see a change in the sentiments expressed. So to say what I've heard so far is that, to paraphrase it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that the raison d'etre for purpose one is really so the registrar can do its thing with regard to getting the domain name to the registered name holder and making sure it works good and lasts a long time, and that by adding the obligations of the registered name holder, it changes the original intent of the purpose, and that those obligations of the registered name holder are covered under other purposes. So that's what I understand that this the discussion to be. So, Mark, so those that are in support of this, if you could point to areas in the rationale where there's support for this, or paraphrase those expressions or of the reasons why this is required, that'd be helpful, I think.
Yeah, this is Mark. So just checking, your previous comment is just summarizing the comments that have already been made, right? It's not
correct. Yeah, I asked initially for people to comment that we read the proposed change and we read the rationale. Everybody's read the rationale for this proposed change, and so I asked for those that are against it. So now I'm looking at the queue, thinking the next few comments are going to be for this change. So that's why
okay.
I made that intervention.
Good. Thank you for clarifying. Yeah, first of all, I think that responsibilities is the better term, and we'd be happy to embrace that. We do feel like this is not purpose number two. If our arguments are not found to be compelling, I guess we'll be overruled. But it just felt like for consistency and completeness, that we ought to mention that there are rights and responsibilities in this. And I think that there's a registry comment that we're going to be getting to soon, where this is actually split into two pieces, or maybe that's on proposal three. Is that, hang on, number?
That's on this one.
Yeah, that's on this one, yeah. And that would be another logical place to change. So on, here, sorry, number 12. Yeah, so they break it into two bits, and so when we get to that, I would think that the second portion would be a place where you would put responsibilities as well. So it felt like it was in line with that comment as well. Thanks.
Thanks, Mark Coran.
Yeah, thanks, Kurt. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Great. So yes, the other side of this, and I can certainly understand how folks think that. This might fit better as a different purpose. I think it makes sense to be here. But the other side of this is that to be able to establish the obligations that the registered name holder has in the domain name, right? You won't do illegal things with the domain name and in all the other terms that the registrant agrees to when they register the domain. To be able to establish those responsibilities. And we're fine with responsibilities, too. I think that tracks better to the registrant's benefits and responsibilities document on the ICANN website. But that's just it, is that that's the other side of the same purpose, right, to establish that the registrant has the claim to the name and that that third parties, if necessary, and not even just third parties, but the registrar, the registry, can rest assured that that is the party who has signed up to the responsibilities about how they'll use that domain name or what they'll do with the domain name. And I think I'd just end with the thought that in the real world, with rights come responsibilities, and I think it's pretty important just to note that here too.
Margie, go ahead, please.
Sure, thank you. This is Margie. A couple of points. give an example for Armor where there might be a processing involving personal data. We're talking about a situation where a registrant wants to update their WHOIS information for accuracy purposes. That's an example of where they would the obligation would be specific to, you know, to this purpose and would be needed in order for the data to go throughout the system, you know, from the registrars to the registries. In terms of the point that Milton raised about this being an access issue, I think we're going to have a separate discussion about access anyways, and we can all be mindful of the fact that the third-party access comes from other purposes. As I looked at this as being a registrant-specific purpose and a registry and registrar-specific purpose, so that the registrant can be have assurances that if there's data that they need to have updated, that, you know, that it'll be covered by the processing that the registries and registrars would have to do. And this is not, I don't see how a third party access even plays into that.
Thanks, Margie. Carlos, go ahead.
Yes, in general and in principle, whenever you are talking of rights, you are talking of obligations. But here, adding obligation will change the scope of the purpose and may create some difficulties. Perhaps if you and other agrees, you raise the question whether there is any support from these changes. If not, you drop it. Thank you.
Thanks, Christina.
Christina Rosette, I want to take this in a slightly different direction, but still focusing on the responsibilities. I think it would be helpful if everyone would just kind of keep in mind that, you know, a lot of where we ended up with this language was working backwards to some extent from the domain name, the registrant's benefits and responsibilities document that ICANN has posted. And if you look at that and look at all of the five delineated responsibilities of a domain name registrant, they're very clearly articulated as being in the context of the registrant to the registrar, to the registry, and to the extent incorporated by ICANN, I guess technically to ICANN. They are not responsibilities of the registered name holder to third parties. So while I have a much greater preference for responsibilities over obligations, I do think that it sounds like if the view of the group is that we are going to include responsibilities, I think it's critical for the purposes of clarity and to avoid future misunderstandings that we limit that language to make it very clear the parties to whom those responsibilities are owed. Thanks.
Thanks, Christina. Please go ahead, Milton.
Yes, just to answer Christina, the purpose currently says subject to registry and registrar terms, conditions, and policies. So all of your obligations to the contracted parties are covered by that. So we clearly do not need to add responsibilities. And in so doing, you would actually be contributing to the confusion between third parties that you spoke of. That's all.
When I read obligations, I never thought that they would be obligations to third parties. I mean, there's a registrant agreement that has that's between the registrar and the registered name holder, and they each have obligations to one another. And I don't think there's third-party beneficiaries to that contract. So this is an issue where, here is my opinion, this is an issue where we seem to be somewhat divided on whether there's no change made or whether we put the rights and responsibility of the registered name holder into the agreement. To me, at the end of the day, regardless of which we choose, there'll be little or no change in the outcome of this new PDP. From my personal standpoint, I really think that this purpose was really targeted at the registrars collecting data in order to make the domain name work, in order to be able to activate it and ensure that the registered name holder exercises its rights. So it was really pointed in that one direction. And to me, that's the cleaner approach. And I see no degradation in any of the future discussion about obligations of registered name holders with regard to dispute policies or any other obligations that the registered name holder has in maintaining his or her data if we made no change. That's sort of an independent assessment listening to the discussion. However, at the end of the day, I see little change or effect in our results if we include the word. So this is one of those issues where, there's two sides to it that's not quite, but fairly evenly divided. I think we have the contracted parties in the non-commercial group and the GAC against the change in the IT and the BC for the change with some support from the ALAC. So that's where we are. So this is where I get myself into trouble. So if I'm I'll take a look at the chat here. You know, it's I'm seeing people So I don't know exactly where to take this one, other than to make the comment I have. I'm just reading the chat and reading some messages. Sorry for the silence. I'm just reading the chat and thinking. Please go ahead, James.
Yeah, Kurt, this is James. And just to echo what's happening, I think, in the chat is, we have a proposal for some additional language to be inserted into the purpose, and that doesn't seem to be achieving consensus. I tried to put out a different spin on it that hopefully be a little bit easier. That didn't work either, so it sounds like we just back to where we were. That's just my take on it. I'm sure others have other ideas.
Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I didn't hear an argument that I think made Margie sound like a bad idea, where the registrant has the responsibility to maintain accurate RDS data and to ensure that the registrant is able to meet that responsibility, that the process is necessary. So that's a purpose for processing the data. I didn't hear an argument against that. And I think Margie floated language around responsibilities relating to maintaining the registration or something like that is language that might work. I'd love to hear the group's thoughts on that.
Thanks, Alan. Go ahead. Thanks, Brian. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you. I'm having trouble identifying what the negatives are. I've heard a number of people say it's not really needed.
The only harms that I can recall hearing are from Milton worried that it's going to be taken as a third-party access issue, and that I think clearly would not work, and, you know, that's a separate purpose altogether. So I'm having trouble identifying what the negatives are to doing it where a number of people think this is useful and necessary. Others have said they can live with it, and I don't recall having heard a lot of negatives. Maybe I missed something or was sleeping. Thank you.
Well, don't be sleeping. Go ahead, Farzaneh.
Thank you, Kurt. So I'm just going to repeat what I said in chat. I don't think that the group is suggesting to add the word responsibility has provided a justification and has provided a thorough data element analysis of what data element is needed and what can or what should be processed for what responsibility. So I don't think at this stage, I do not support the addition of this word. And I think that the group has to bring more justification in order to add it. We can just like add it because a portion of stakeholder group wants it.
Should I go ahead?
Yes, please, Milton.
Yeah, just to answer Alan's specific argument that there are no negatives, the negatives are very clear. The whole point of this exercise is to have clearly delineated purposes for the sake of compliance with GDPR. We've already noted, and in fact, Brian King has just agreed that adding responsibilities makes it a different purpose, and that's exactly what we've been arguing. You know, that clouds the picture of what are the purposes and therefore what data elements are required to fulfill the purpose and what forms of disclosure and transfer of the and processing of the data are needed. So, and the other problem was that it doesn't add anything of value because insofar as we're talking about obligations or responsibilities to registries and registrars, those are already clearly covered by the reference to registry and registrar terms, conditions, and policies. So I think it's unfortunate that we even need to spend this much time talking about this. I think the issue, you know, is pretty clear that there's no reason to amend this purpose in a way that creates all kinds of problems and accomplishes very little.
Greg Cavus. Thanks, Milton.
Yes, I think you have spent considerable amount of time on this. If we continue the same method of work, we may not finish the things before the time that allocated to us. Moreover, adding responsibility and obligation, as mentioned by others, change the scope of this purpose, and moreover, it may compromise the rights as well. So I think you take a decision now and ask whether there is any serious objections not to take it. Thank you.
Thanks. Go ahead, Mark.
This is Mark. One of the reasons I was interested in discussing even these so-called easy ones is because eventually you get to a point where everyone has spoken and tried to defend their point of view, and now the question is, how do we decide to move forward? I mean, simply having Milton say over and over again, look, let's move on, let's move on, let's move on, that doesn't seem like a very good way to proceed. I mean, take a vote or something, but it was not really explained in advance, at least not to my understanding, how we were going to resolve these issues. So now everyone has spoken. We could take a vote if that's the path forward, but I don't think we've defined our path forward, and I'm very curious how we're going to do this, because if these are the easy ones, how are we going to proceed on the harder ones? And then I guess my second point is, if we're arguing about, you know, creating new purposes and stuff like that, that the registry group did, in fact, provide a comment that breaks the purpose into two parts, and this edit fits nicely into the second part of that. So if that comment is to be considered as well, I think it is in line, as I've said before, with this proposed edit.
Thanks, Mark. Go ahead, Hadia.
So that's a quick one. I heard someone saying, so what does a responsibility add? So in my opinion, what responsibility adds, it establishes fact that the registrant could have the domain name deactivated if he does not meet his responsibility. So I think it does fit in here because it does say something about the activation or deactivation of the domain.
Thanks very much. So I have a comment and then the way out of, and then so we can go on to the next topic at least before the end of the meeting. So what I'd really like is a show of hands by constituency. So I don't know if we can coordinate that. So a show of hands. So I think green would be for the change and red would be to maintain the status quo. And then I'm expecting to see, but then I have some comments to make so we can go on to the next thing. Just looking for a registrar vote in here somewhere. Yeah, so we have I don't see a registrar vote anyway. Yeah, so I see anyway, so the ALAC, the IPC, and the BC are in support of it, and the contracted parties, registrars and registries, and non-commercial stakeholder group and the GAC are against it. So I think that, I'd like us to think about a couple things. One is when we think about the legal basis for the processing of the data, adding to this purpose the responsibilities of the registrant, would that change the legal basis for the purpose? And because I think it might. I think it makes it more difficult. And so the way forward out of this is to not adopt this change at this time, stick a pin in it, and go through everything else we have to go through and see if the concerns are addressed. And if they are, fine. And if not, we'll have to come back to this in some way. But we certainly don't have agreement to adopt the change. And we certainly agonized over this purpose for a long time. So let's not write in ink that we're going to make this change, but rather leave the purpose in this situation the way it is, and then at the end of this, we'll come back to it and see. And when I say at the end of this, it might be at the end of the discussion about this recommendation, and it or this specific purpose, or it might be later to see if we've addressed it or can think through it in some other way. But other than that, I don't really see a way forward to make a final definitive answer. Again, I'll say that, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think it would change things that much. So I'm a little bit sad that we have this discussion and this disagreement at this time. Let's go on to the third proposed change, which is from John Poole, which essentially, Kaylin or Barry, it essentially just rewords the purpose into this short sentence. Is that correct?
Yes, it's a proposed final statement to the purpose as in general.
So is it so it's added on to the purpose? So is there anyone interested in discussing this change further? And Barry or Mariko or Kaylin, if you could just confirm that this is an addition to the purpose, not a replacement of the purpose. Mark, go ahead.
Thanks, Kurt. This is Mark. So to me, this is unnecessary. I think it's just this is part of the allocation. Allocating a domain name to a registered name holder, that includes, the process, that includes this processing activity. So to me, this is extra text and really just having the, just saying allocate to a registered name holder encompasses this. My two cents, I don't see this as a necessary edit.
So it's part of the registrar requirement in the first place, and so it's sort of a restatement. Is anybody else interested in discussing this proposed change? And just to confirm, so what John's recommending here is that we replace the three bullets, in the purpose with this. With this statement. Alan Greenberg?
I like the summary. I'm not sure it replaces the three bullets, and I'm not sure it adds a lot. So I think at this point, and unless someone can demonstrate what it adds or what is dangerous, I think it's gilding the lily at this point.
Thanks, Alan. So what I'm hearing is it's a good and accurate statement for this purpose that may or may not be the equivalent of what we have. So we're going to decide to maintain the language we have and not use this recommended language in lieu of it. It being essentially equivalent, but it would require some discussion to determine if that's the case or not. So I'll pause for a second and see if anybody anybody wants to discuss this one further. Okay, thanks very much. The next comment comes from the Internet Society of India, and I just got confirmation, but I assumed it was to add an additional bullet, a fourth bullet, to ensure transparency in the domain name registration process. And I didn't, I'm trying to recall. I have to get the PCRT up in front of me so I can read the rationale for this one, but I forgot it, so I hope we can take the time to look at the rationale for this one. Is there any interest on this call who wishes to discuss this this edition by ISOC India?
Kurt, it's Alan. Can we get clarity on what he, where he was suggesting putting this?
Yeah, it's a fourth bullet.
This one also is a fourth bullet. Okay.
The other one, John Poole's, was a replacement for the three bullets. This is a fourth bullet. Go ahead, Mark.
Thanks. I guess just a procedural question to start with. Like, when you ask, is there any interest in discussing this? I guess what... What does answering no here mean to us as a working group? If no one here is interested in discussing it, what do we do with it then?
I think so. Maybe I was a little sloppy in my language, but I think the best way to go about it is to ask if there's first ask what the support, if there's support for this change and agreement with use of the rationale that was. That accompanied this. So it's really asking if there's support for this. And, I appreciate, by saying that, I appreciate any comments to the opposite too, to sort of put a point on, put an end to the discussion or get to the end of the discussion.
Thanks, Kirk. Good clarification.
Go ahead, James.
Thanks, Kurt. James speaking. And I guess, and I apologize on behalf of myself to the Internet Society of India, because I did not read the entire comment, and I'm asking if there's any context or justification or rationale around what they mean by transparency in this, in the context of domain name registration, or is there some specific process or part of that process that they believe is not sufficiently transparent that this would fix? Because I think transparency, obviously, is always a good thing to pursue transparency unless and until it starts to collide with privacy, and then you kind of have to get into a balancing discussion. So I don't really understand what their objective or purpose for adding this is. So I don't. Is it maybe for you or a question for staff? If there's any more material or explanation backing up this the reason behind this insertion?
Right. So I think that's really important. Remember in the old days, seems like years ago now, we'd start every meeting by making sure we had the temporary specification in our hand as we went through that as part of the triage. So it's the same thing with the public comment tool now, the PCRT. And looking at the text that accompanied this recommendation said it's important to ensure the availability of unregistered names to natural and artificial persons without the availability status being masked in the middle, paving way for speculative transactions by intermediaries, which may not always be fair. This purpose is added to ensure transparency. This purpose is added to ensure fairness in the availability of domain names to natural and artificial persons. It is acknowledged that some names that are beyond the purview of trademarks are desirable names by many, hence have a premium value. To ensure fairness and transparency of opportunities for registering premium names by existing and new processes between ICANN and registries. So, I read the first clause of that and said, I'll just plow through that, but it's kind of a little bit of a dense read. But that's the rationale for it, Alan.
Yeah, this sounds like a plea for availability of the zone file or something like that. That is that we are allowed to know what names are registered and what names are not. Now, that's not actually the zone file, because it may not be in the zone and may be registered. So this sounds like it's a plea for to make sure that the public and not only the registrars involved know what domain names are registered and what domain names are not registered. You know, clearly you can find out by doing a whois query, but it sounds like a proactive request to make sure that the domain names are going to be available in some form or another.
Right.
And I don't know whether that's covered somewhere else at this point, honestly.
Thanks. I think that's a pretty good assessment. Amar, please go ahead.
Hi, Kurt. Thanks. This is Amar. Yeah, I think what Alan said makes sense. And I was just going to say that I don't see how, you know, processing registration data somehow helps with determining the availability of a domain name, whether it be a premium or not. I'm not sure if I misunderstand the rationale provided or not, but I think what Alan just said might be an appropriate response to this comment, when recording it in the public comment review tool. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mark.
Thanks, Kurt. Mark Anderson. I think for me, reading this comment and the explanation for this, it just, I'm not sure that it fits in our work at all, but I feel pretty comfortable that it does not belong as part of Purpose 1. And so, whether or not this is a different purpose to consider or is something to consider under the different under the umbrella of a different purpose, maybe you can make that argument. But I don't think there's anything here that, for me, really fits under Purpose 1 at all. I think this is I think I've said this before. Purpose 1 is activation and allocation of the domain name. This to ensure transparency in the domain name registration process, that's different. That's different than what we're trying to accomplish in defining what Purpose 1 is. So for me, at the end of the day, I think it doesn't belong here under Purpose 1.
Respecting the rest of the queue, what I'd recommend is putting this statement in the meeting notes and as a signal for the team to think about this recommendation as we go through the other purposes and the rest of the comments and see if this belongs somewhere else. So I would stick this comment with the accompanying rationale in the meeting notes and as a marker for, and then read through it so that we were reminded that this might be considered somewhere else. So I'll take James and Alan's comment. If you think that that's an okay approach, you can put down your hand. But if you have a comment, I'd be very happy to hear it. So please go ahead, James.
Thanks, Chair. James speaking. So just to say very quickly, thanks for the explanation. I think others mentioned there's not a one-to-one relationship between an availability of a domain name and something showing up in RDS under a registered name holder. Certainly a number of scenarios where that's not true. But I agree with your approach as just kind of putting a flag on this, and I think I'm supporting the previous speaker, which was Mark, that this probably just isn't relevant to this purpose, if anything at all, regarding our work. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Alan, go ahead, please.
Yeah, thanks. I think putting in the meeting notes alone is not sufficient. I think this does need to be flagged to come back to. Bottom line is, if when we finish this entire process, it is possible to register a domain name and that information not be made available unless you query that exact character string, I think we have a problem. So, I think we need to look at the end and decide, do we have a problem or not, based on everything else we've done. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. So let's promote that then, from sticking it in the meeting notes to making it some sort of action. And I'm not sure exactly what that action is, but when we talk with the support team after the call, we'll figure a way to memorialize that. Go ahead, Barry.
Thank you, Kurt. So just to advise the group, as you're deliberating each of the comments, I'm basically trying to summarize what the group's overall summary comment would be, and I'm updating the PCRT in real time with a general comment from the group itself and what action was taken. As you'll notice that, you know, up to now there hasn't been any action to edit the text of Purpose 1, but to Alan's point, I've documented a summary statement for this particular comment from CBER, the ISOC India, but I have flagged it over to the right to keep it open until we review through all the comments and circle back that maybe, you know, in case this needed to be considered again. So the long of the short is that we're documenting the deliberations and actions in the PCRT in addition to the notes. The PCRT, in terms of what's open and what's not, is the authority. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Bray. Christina, go ahead.
Thanks, Christina Rosette. I'm sure I will say this again when we get back to it. But I think any action on this particular recommendation that we could potentially theoretically take is going to be beyond the scope of this charter. And given how far we are behind and how little time we have left, I would actually support not flagging it and coming back to it. Acknowledge that we have read it, we have considered it, and believe it's out of scope for purposes of this working group's charter. Thanks.
Thanks, Christina. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Thank you, Stephanie Perrin. For the record, I'd just like to, as long as Barry is noting the comments, I would like to underline my request that when we get independent legal counsel, we ask them to elucidate for us, to explain how you go about defining purposes for in this process, because it seems very clear that we are going in circles trying to ensure, in air quotes, balance. Some people don't like to see the word rights without the word responsibilities or obligations tagged to it, and that, I would argue, is not what you're trying to do when you're delineating purposes in a limited scoped way. So I think it'd be helpful to ask legal counsel to explain our process to us. Better late than never. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie. And I'm sensitive to Amr's comment here in the chat and Christina's final comment. It will be, you know, we'll find a way to save this, but it'll be up for those, as we go through our different parts of the initial report, it'll be up for those who are a proponent of the sentiment expressed in this comment to bring it up and insert it at that time. So with that, let's spend the next couple minutes on the RYSG proposal to bifurcate this into two purposes. And Is there any reaction? So we really want these comments to stand on their own. And so I've read the if you have your PGRT open, you'll read the one paragraph of so we're pleased that it's succinct justification or rationale for this, that it captures two purposes. One is the technical provisioning of a domain name, and the second is the establishment of the name holder's rights. So two different things. And so the RYSG recommends separating this purpose into two purposes. Is there, as we did with the last controversial one, are there people that would oppose this one? Go ahead, Margie.
Hi, it's Margie, and I'm not necessarily saying I oppose it. I just don't understand the reason for it. Could the registry folks on the call provide clarity as to what the intent of the bifurcation is?
Go ahead, some registry person. Mark, Christina? Go ahead, Mark.
Kurt, this is Mark. We're sort of pointing fingers at each other in chat to decide who fields this one. But I guess maybe I just question whether, I mean, we're at, you know, we've got 3 minutes until the end of the scheduled call. So, maybe I'll ask a question if it makes sense to get into a substantive discussion about a proposed change like this at this point in the call. And I'll just also note that I was hoping to get to agenda item 4, next steps, today on this call. So I guess this question for you is to whether it makes sense to get into this now.
Well, my thinking was an introduction into the thinking would be good so that we could sort of formulate our responses to it, because it's a little bit of a radical change. And I put the rationale there in the chat, and it describes what, but I sort of agree with Marty that it doesn't exactly describe why the change is necessary. So if someone's prepared to talk to it now, that'd be good. But if not, we'll end the substantive discussion. Caboose, go ahead.
Yes, I'm not sure that at this stage we need to go to the legal counsel and ask them to redefine the purpose. The people getting together a few months ago and established these purpose for ICANN, for registry, for digital, for third party, and so on and so forth, they spent a lot of time, and we had drafted a purpose, and now all of a sudden we say that we were not doing something properly because of some comments, and we have to ask a legal counsel to redefine the purpose. And then when we find the purpose, we may change the recommendation, we may need to go public comment. I don't understand this process. There has been a lot of support for this legal counsel, but I am not quite sure that what legal counsel is going to do with this redefining of the purpose and why we need to redefine the purpose. Thank you.
Thanks. Go ahead, Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, thank you. the rationale really comes down to the purposes may require different processing, different data elements to achieve them. I would suggest this is better discussed if someone from the registry stakeholder group would actually draft the two new purposes so we can look at them and see how different they are. I mean, if we had started off with two different ones and then decided that almost all the sub-elements are the same, we could merge them, that's a decision we might well have taken along the way. So I, instead of hypothesizing how they would be different, I would suggest someone needs to go and actually do the work, and then we can make a simple decision, yes or no. I don't think there's any hard and fast rule about how simple or complex a purpose can be. So I can live with it either way. If they think there's a good reason to separate them, let's see some drafts. Thank you.
Okay. And aren't these the drafts here in number five? These are the two new purposes, one A and one B.
I'm a draft of the whole workbook showing the processing, the data elements, and the processing steps.
Yo comprendo. Alan Woods?
Alan answered the question there in a way. I agree with Mark. I think, you know, it's probably going into a bit longer than we have left in the call. But, again, one of the major reasoning behind this, of course, because you must remember the registrar or the registries, there are several of us within this. Therefore, there was a lot of discussion over this one, specifically with regards to the fact that the transfer of registrant data elements was not envisaged to be a good thing for some registries, whereas for others it was necessary. So it was actually a compromise between all the registries in order to ensure that where the transfer of registrant data is necessary, that is taken into account in the second part, which is that is subject to the registry, registrar terms and conditions. But for the actual technical allocation and activation of the domain, there is very minimal personal data that needs to be transferred. It was for the second half that the transfer is probably more envisaged. So it was to come up, and this is a very whirlwind tour through it, but it's to come up with basically a justification and a proper consideration of the transfer of data elements that are necessary in a specific instance that we felt wasn't properly covered by the overarching ideal of a single purpose. So the two purposes are now separate. They're both technically on the same ideal of things that are necessary for the activation of a domain, but it's not necessary in all instances to have both. So that's probably a bad explanation of it, but again, we should probably look into that.
Thanks very much, Alan. So I think that's a good recommendation from Alan Greenberg about between now and the next meeting, to Alan Woods and the others to flesh out the thinking of these two, especially since Alan Woods just sort of confirmed what Alan Greenberg said about different data is required for these, that we flesh out the data requirements for each one of these two so that we can understand what the change is. So I'm going to do two more things. I'm late for a meeting too, so I apologize to you guys. One is that I think Farzaneh brought up the idea of trying to get through this in small groups, because obviously we've demonstrated we can't use this methodology to plow through all the comments. So I'm not sure exactly how that would work and how that would be effective yet. But it seems like it might be a good idea if we have representation from each of the constituency groups on the smaller groups. So we'll think about that. And we'll set an agenda for the next meeting that gets us through some more of this material and with specific assignments about what comments and rationale to read in the public comment tool. So we'll get that out. And then, in deference to Mark, we hadn't planned too deep a discussion on agenda item 4, but I'm going to turn this portion over to Marika, who will make some comments about next steps, which are just to sort of indicate what the next steps are, but not exactly how we're going to go about them yet, because that's not settled. And so maybe for some questions for us to think about. So, Marika, if you could take that.
Yeah, thanks, Kurt, and this is Marika. Indeed, as you noted, these were just some items to flag to the group that these are under development and will need further consideration. The first one being preparations for the face-to-face meeting. I think some of you may already be aware, but it may be good to formally state it as well, that CBI will be, again, there with us to help facilitate and mediate that meeting. So the leadership team and staff will be getting together with CBI to plan for the meeting and work on a draft agenda. So we hope, of course, to share further details with you shortly. Of course, at some point, the group will need to move towards the formal consensus call on the different recommendations for the final report. As such, we just wanted to flag here that the decision-making methodologies and the consensus call process are outlined in the charter and referred from there from the GNSO working group guidelines. So we'd just like to encourage everyone to start familiarizing yourself with that process as it applies to a GNSO PDP. The leadership team here will also put some further thought in what that will mean in practice and how that process will be run in relation to the different recommendations. So again, it's just to put you on notice to already start doing your homework there, but further details will follow on that. Then the second item on the final report development, just to note that staff is happy to start transforming the initial report into a final report, at least starting to work on some of the more admin parts of their changing the titles, starting adding in a chapter that focuses on the public comment the fact that public comment was held and feedback received in the process that the group used for reviewing those comments, and of course, eventually, any changes that the group has agreed upon. Again, we just wanted to confirm that that is a process you feel comfortable with, or whether there's another way in which you think the report should be reviewed and edited. Of course, we can, we would always do that in red line, so it should hopefully be easy to see as well what changes and updates are being made. And then as a last point, the timeline, just to note there that we're still working on the basis of the timeline that's posted as well on the wiki, which foresees delivery of a final report in early February. Of course, at this stage, it may be difficult to assess where we're going to be at by that time. A lot of it will depend on the progress that can be made during the face-to-face meeting. But obviously, that is still a timeline that we're working towards. As you all know, there are several other steps that are following the delivery of the final report that would get us to that May deadline. And just to note as well, I know that Alan asked some questions about the reference to a final report. As I noted in an email we sent to the list, it may be helpful to refer to a final report on the temporary specification to clearly delineate that from a final report on the second phase two items that the group also will be working on, of course. And that was my quick recap here. I see Cavus has his hand up, so Kurt, I'll hand it back to you to manage the queue.
Hello, may I talk? Is the meeting is finished, or I could continue to talk?
Cavus, go ahead. I see that Kurt.
Go ahead and talk, Cavus. I'm sorry.
Yes, Kurt. I don't understand some people saying that others do not understand. We may have different understanding of the text, but no one has the right to say that other people do not understand. I don't know. What is the criteria about someone claim that he or she understand and others does not understand? We may have different views, may have different ideas, maybe have different understanding, but does not mean that we don't understand. This is arrogant statement and should be stopped. Thank you.
That's a good point, Cavus. Thank you very much. Okay, well, so I'm pleased, I think, that our first meeting is on a Thursday, because that'll give us some time to think about how to proceed going forward and accelerate our work in a way where all the comments get proper consideration, but we can move ahead with some alacrity. So we'll be working on that in the next few days and have an agenda out, at least for the next meeting, so that you can read through the PCR, the pertinent sections of PCRTs, and prepare for the meeting. So with that, I'll close the meeting and thanks very much for everybody coming back for the first of the year, and I'll see you all Tuesday, if not before. Thanks very much. Bye.
And once again, thank you everyone for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines. And if you could please stop all recordings. Everyone have a wonderful rest of your day and Happy New Year one more time.